You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reform book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur.
Tortured for the past year, Cassian Ghost Stone has been stripped of his identity and dignity. A shell of a man, he's haunted, scarred, and on the run from the controlling clutches of Project Phoenix. Lost and confused, he collapses, praying that death will finally end his suffering. Instead, he awakens to a blonde-haired angel and no memories of his past. But the demons inside his head are clawing to get out, and vivid nightmares force him to confront the atrocities he's committed against others, including his former Navy SEAL team. When Haley Lachlan finds the injured half-naked man, her empathetic heart refuses to let her walk away. She yearns to help the tormented stranger and can see past his haunted eyes and endless scars. Cassian doesn't believe he can be saved, but Haley is determined to be the light to his darkness. When he vows vengeance against Veronica, the woman who broke him, they find themselves thrust into a showdown 30,000 feet in the air, and Haley knows only one of them will make it back down to the ground alive. That's the blurb from Reactivated Cassian, Project Phoenix Book 5, by Carissa Graysick. And that's who we're book clubbing on this episode. Now, a little warning, we had some audio issues, so I want to apologize in advance for the audio issues. I'm working on it, folks. I promise I am. I'm looking at some other options, but bear with us. The Stalker Sisters are on with me, and we're book clubbing Reactivated Cassian, and lots of great info in here. Lots of fun. Carissa's going to join us towards the end. So, as always, thank you for being here with us. And here we go.
Okay, so here with the Stalker Sisters group, and we are book clubbing again. It is book club week, and we are book clubbing Carissa Graysick and Reactivated Cassian. And then a little bit of Operation Lightstorm, right? Yes. So, Carissa has, Lightstorm is coming out this week. Actually, today, the day of upload, is Lightstorm. But we're going to talk more about Cassian because we've all read that, and hopefully people have read it by now, so we're not doing massive spoilers because we're going to do quotes, and we're going to talk about the book because this book is absolutely amazing. Now, real quick. In full disclosure, I do want to say that I am Carissa's editor, so I am super biased towards this book and her as an author because I absolutely love her. I love her writing. I love this book. I loved everything she's written, but I will put that in there as a disclosure, disclaimer, all the things, because I'm going to sound like I'm, you know, a fangirl, which I am. Because I really love working with Carissa. So there, I've said that. Okay, so Ron, you here?
I'm here.
Julie, you here?
I am here.
And Susie, you're here? All right. So we are book clubbing Reactivated Cassian. Now, Cassian, just to preface a little bit, is the book that was never supposed to happen. Cassian was a character that was introduced, and he was supposed to be just kind of a catalyst character, but not a book character. And everybody loved him so much, and he developed so much with everybody's minds that he started, not only did people start demanding his book, but he started demanding his book. And Chris is going to come on with us a little later and talk a bit about that as well. But I think it's really cool that we're on here book clubbing a book that wasn't even supposed to happen. Cassian is a little deeper than the others. If you're not familiar with the Project Phoenix books, the Reactivated books written by Carissa Graysick, this is a series that follows a group of former Navy SEALs, and they were tasked to be used in a kind of a super soldier project that kind of went wrong. And Cassian has this book, which is a real emotional deep dive, much more so than the other books. It is book five. Yeah, book five, right? Oz, Dom, Max, Jericho, Cassian. I get that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Good. Book five. It is a series. Definitely, I think, best read in the series. We'll talk about that a little later, of course. But for fun, we're going to start with quotes because we love our Kindle quotes and find that those are often really good jumping-off points for talking about the book itself. And I'm absolutely going to throw Ron out here and say your quote has to come first because it's fun and it's a little humorous and it really does get the ball rolling on what kind of character Cassian turns out to be. So, Ron, your quote first.
Okay. Maybe you could put some shorts on, Haley said one day after walking in on him stretched out on the couch in the office, reading. Indy, the trader, was curled up on the furniture at his feet. He peered over the edge of the book and grinned. It's too damn hot for clothes, he complained. Tell me about it, but you don't see me walking around practically naked, do you? The moment the words left her mouth, Haley flushed. Cassian's cobalt eyes skimmed down her bare legs and darkened a shade. I think you should do whatever you want, and if that includes stripping down.
Dun dun dun.
Dun
I
dun
love
dun.
that. Has a bit of a kind of a wicked little side to him. Find out through the book. One of the things I love is he's a bit of an exhibitionist. He kind of has no shame, which is kind of fun to have a character like that in the book. And Haley is kind of a, I don't really want to call her a wallflower, but she's quiet. She's kind of shy. She works for an animal rescue. And she's not like a big party girl. She's not out there real social. And Cassian just kind of really comes in and takes over. Well, she brings him in and he kind of takes over. And I love this because it really kind of, I can see the arched eyebrow when she says that. I can see his arched eyebrow reaction to, well, I think you should do whatever you want. Right. So, any response to that, Julie or Susie?
I think that he was very surprising to me. I guess I expected him to have, I mean, obviously he's got issues, but I don't know. I expected him to be less forward. I don't know.
I liked this quote because it shows the juxtaposition of his character. I mean, his in the other books that we've seen him in, that we've learned who he is, he's so dark and he's so violent. To have this fun, sexy, softer side kind of gives you a glimpse at his true nature. And makes what they've done to him through the project so much more offensive.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say is it's just so like I didn't expect that from him based on what we know of him. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I didn't
Yep,
expect that
no, I
either.
agree. And yeah, it's weird because you did get it, we get a glimpse of Cassian through the first four books as this damaged creature. They've turned him into kind of a mindless super soldier to bend to their whim. They broke him. Project Phoenix broke Cassian in the biggest possible way. And it's, what's really funny is I mentioned to Carissa, and we should probably talk about this with her too, but when we first started with these books, and I mentioned to her about how Cassian is very much like the Winter Soldier, where he's brainwashed and used for these nefarious purposes. And Carissa said, "Who's that?" And I went, "Are you kidding me?" So if you're a Marvel fan, you know who the Winter Soldier is. You know what he went through, you know how he was broken. And Cassian is that very broken character. And to see that juxtaposition, like you said, of him being the broken creature kind of that we see in the first four books, and then this sense of humor and this, kind of deeply delicious side to him that's kind of naughty and kind of exhibitionist. Was really, really cool and really funny. He's got a really funny side. So you're right, Ron. It does. It makes what they did to him even worse, knowing who he is and then what they did.
And what they made him do.
Yes. Oh, my God. What they made him do. Jeez. He is. So the things they do and they make poor Cassian do throughout this book, and you find out things that happened in the first four books the book attributes to him in this, and it's, I cried. Am I the only one who cried from this book?
No.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of crybabies with books.
We are a bunch of crybabies, and I did. I so cried through some scenes in this book because of what was happening, but also because of how it was related to him and how it affected him. And we're not even going to get into the heart attack I almost had later in the book when the big climax happens toward the confrontation towards the end. I slammed the computer shut and almost, I messaged Grissa. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? This is not okay with Cassian and poor Haley and Aiden. Anyway, my favorite quote was, okay, here we go. This is why there's a disclaimer at the beginning about foul language, because here comes the foul language. My quote was, he was a fucked up, broken ass mess, and she not only accepted him as he was, she also knelt down beside him to help gather the shattered pieces of his soul.
Ugh. Amazing. I mean, I can like visualize that. Like, yes, it's perfect.
I'm crying again. All right, I gotta get tissues. Come on. Ron, your response?
Yeah. I mean, at least once in every book, Carissa has a quote that you just go, because it's just that on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You okay?
No.
I need to message your daughter for some tissues.
I did not tell me to bring tissues.
Yeah, some books should come with a tissue warning. You know, last book club, you know, Avery, even though it was a rom-com, had some tissue moments in there. And this one, even though it's kind of that sci-fi romantic suspense, it definitely had those tissue moments in there. Man. All right, Julie, your quote, because this is also another one that made me cry.
Once upon a time, a little girl stood on the beach covered in starfish. One by one, she picked them up and threw them back into the ocean. But for every one she threw in, 10 more washed ashore. A man watched her and asked why she continued to throw them back in the water when more just washed up. And the little girl said, "Maybe I can't save all of them, but," she held one up and said, "I can save this one." "God, I love you," Cassian said, and cupped her face in his large hands so goddamn much. "I love you too," she whispered. "Good," he murmured and pressed his forehead against hers, "because I'm never letting you go. It's me, you, and Indy." At the mention of her name, they heard a soft cry and scratching at the door. They both burst out laughing, and Cassian remembered what it was like to feel true, pure joy.
So this comes about in the story because one of the tattoos that Haley has is a starfish. And in the beginning, Cassian asks her about it, and she's not ready to tell him yet. And the backstory you also have to know is that Haley lived with her grandmother, who had recently passed when Cassian came into her life. And her grandmother had told her this story. And Indy is the dog that they rescue together. You know, Carissa's a big fan of the whole Indiana Jones series. And this just brings back the whole funny for me of you're named after the dog because the dog was named Indy. So that made me laugh a little bit too. But knowing where this comes from, and it's towards the end of the book, and she finally tells him the story behind the tattoo and the quote. And then there's Indy. And yeah, I cried again. And now I'm tearing up again. Okay, Julie, what were your thoughts on your quote?
Do what?
What were your thoughts on your quote?
Haley is just like, you know, when we first meet her, she's broken in a way. She's lonely and lost. But this shows where she came from, you know, based on her grandmother. And I just think she's got a strength about her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the quote, everything just fit her.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just like picking up, she knelt down and picked up the shattered pieces.
Mm-hmm.
She's a savior. She's got that I want to save everything personality. Yeah.
And she works for a rescue. That's how she finds Cassian. He's like one more stray that she brought home to rehabilitate.
And she referred to him as a stray for a little bit.
She did. Oh my god.
Well, if my strays look like that, I'd probably pick up more of them too.
Yes. Cover. Oh my god, did she pick the most amazing cover for Cassian? Definitely love that. And yeah, when you describe him and you see her muse, which I'm not going to say on here because he's a public figure and all that, but if you're in Carissa's group, you can find her muse in her group. And if you're not in Carissa's group, we'll get you the information for that. So you can join Carissa's group and look up her muse for Cassian, because he is a stellar, hot human being. There is some major eye candy going on there.
But why can't we say the name?
Can I say? I don't know. Can I? You guys know more of that better than I do. Can I say?
I would say it's fine. It's not like she's using him in marketing.
Okay.
You know.
Well, if I have to, I'll cut it out later. But her muse is Christian Hoag, and he is on Instagram. And we do follow him on Instagram because, wow, okay, yeah.
We research him?
We research, yes.
Research him?
We research him.
I think it's come up in our group chat on multiple occasions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I will agree with that. There are multiple shares for Cassian's muse. But moving on, Ron or Susie, any comments about that quote?
I feel like that quote, like book. Like,
way that he was just
broken and she's kind of like his starfish, basically.
I love that.
Oh. Yeah, I love that.
Crying again. I know. No, you know what? Okay, it's so stupid. My mind, okay, here the brain squirrels are at work, right? And my mind went to the Friends episode where she's his lobster. Because, you know, starfish, lobsters, they're both in the sea. Never mind. Okay, anyway.
Were you about to sing? I swear I heard SpongeBob coming in.
And I'm hungry, so I'm thinking about lobster. Never mind. Anyway, so Ron, thoughts?
I love the starfish story. It's been a part of my life for a long, long time. So I love that she incorporated it so well and so appropriately.
Me too.
Susie, what's your quote?
He taught this family is not the one you're given.
Yes. The found family aspect is so strong in Carissa's books. And I think a lot of the authors that we read together have a big element of found family. What?
I was getting ready to say that I think that's the theme of our group or your podcast, our group chats. There, it's usually whoever the author is. It's typically there is that found family aspect in all of their books.
You're right.
So
kind of like us. We're kind of like found family.
That's true.
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
So I think we gravitate towards that, which is powerful in and of itself, that we tend to find the things that we resonate with. And although we all have very strong family foundations, we have this strong pull towards these found family books. And the entire Project Phoenix series is very much based on found family. Between the team guys, their strong, independent women that they connect with, become found family for each other. And that element of found family bringing each other back and having that support is pretty powerful.
It is.
I agree.
Okay, so favorite characters. I think we kind of know favorite characters here. Favorite characters. Susie, favorite character. Yep.
Cass.
Yep.
Max, of course.
Yeah, in the series. Let's talk series-wise, because this is part of a series. So within Project Phoenix, favorite character, Susie, is Max. Why? Susie licked Max. Okay. Julie, favorite character in Project Phoenix?
Go to Ron first, please.
Who?
Go to Ron. Ask Ron.
Oh, go to me first.
Okay.
Chicken.
I was like, who is that? Oh, I didn't even realize it's a Ron. Ron, who's your favorite character?
Well, I think so far that we have that has a book, I would say Cassian. I like that he comes out of that darkness. But I think Aiden's gonna break me.
Oh, you.
Julie.
My favorite book is Cassian, but I really like Jericho too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really, really, really feel a connection with Haley.
Why?
I don't know. It's just probably my own personality trait of wanting to fix and help everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just had a connection to her.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I love that she's that. In fact, I think Ron had written that she's a quiet, kick-ass kind of gal. She takes charge, but not in a gangbusters knock down the walls kind of way. But she's still knocking down a ton of walls, especially for Cassian.
Yes, she's stealth. She's yes. Stealthily working her ways.
I love that. Yeah, so I don't think it's any secret. I absolutely love Cassian, but I totally licked Aiden. Aiden is, I'm with Ron on this. He is going to break us in a very big way.
Even harder than...
He's just slowly...
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I think there's some serious depth to Aiden that makes him the way he is. And
I think his book is going to be very, very, like, we're going to find out some nasty shit.
Well, yep. I think that the way that this whole project thing seemed to play out is that the trait that the project brings out the strongest in them to make them a super soldier is the thing that's the most opposite their innate nature is. So,
yeah,
because Aiden's character through all the books seems so detached,
yep,
I think that his book is just going to be an emotional roller coaster and just,
yeah,
may break everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's some deep, dark stuff hidden in Aiden. There's little breadcrumbs, I think, that she's left through the books about, you know, how he disappears at times and what he does. And we all know what the others do for a living since they've left, but we have no idea what Aiden does. And I think there's going to be some serious truths and some very deep, dark secrets that come out in Aiden's book. Mm-hmm. And he's got the last book. So he, the next one is, oh crap. His name just completely left my head. Deacon, thank you. Deacon is next, and then Aiden. So Deacon, I think, is December, and Aiden is Valentine's Day.
Oy.
I know.
That was Chris's gift to Michelle.
Yep. It's going to come out just in time for us all to read it and go absolutely bonkers before we see her at Charm City.
Well, and she's left in room enough for us to get over it.
So. Exactly. And just, a little bit of time to get over it. And yeah, so.
And knowing Carissa, she'll probably.
God, oh, she will. There's got to be. I mean, there's got to be something, but man. All right, getting back to Cassian, because she's going to come on with us in like 13 minutes. Getting back to Cassian real quick. Okay, why did you read it? I read it because, I edited it. I kind of had to read it, but I would have read it anyway because I love when a character who is not even supposed to have a book becomes so loud in an author's head that they get their book, and it is just absolutely beautiful. I love that element of this book, so I would have read it anyway. Julie, why did you read this book?
Because I've read every other book in the series. Why wouldn't I? But at the same time, I needed to know his story. I needed to know how they were going to bring him out of the dark.
Yeah.
How was he going to break free of the chains that those horrible people put on him?
Kind of needed to know that too. You're right. I needed to know how he got free.
So that's
okay,
that's,
Susie.
Well, because part of the series, and like Julie said, I needed to make sure that he was okay. I'm happy he got his happy ending, and
it was okay.
Die.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. Ron?
I was part of the chorus that was saying that we needed Cassian's book, so I begged for it.
So you really, really were.
I honestly didn't know he was not going to get a book.
Mm-hmm. I know. I didn't know that either.
That I believe that had he not gotten a book, I might have held her down at Charm City and said, excuse me, here's your typer, your computer. Get to work, baby.
Did you forget somebody? Here we go. Let's give you a reminder.
What happened to No Man Left Behind?
Right? So before Carissa comes on, because she's going to join us in just a couple minutes, just wanted to point out real fast before she joins us, because we're going to discuss a lot of this with her anyway, is that Reactivated Cassian is part of a series. It is best read in order. It does have its own HEA, so it is within its own rights, its own story, but it is much better read within the sequence of the series, the Project Phoenix series, because you really get to know the background of Cassian, where he came from, why he's important, before you dive into his story. On the opposite side of the spectrum are the Slater Security books, which is a spinoff, actually, from Project Phoenix, which is a series in its own right. And the Slater Security books are all independent and interconnected standalones. And she has one coming out today, when this airs. It's coming out the same day, Thursday, September 22nd. And it is Operation Lightstorm. It is so much fun. I know a couple of us arced it. Julie, you arced Lightstorm, right?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah. And Susie, did you arc Lightstorm?
I did not.
Okay, but you've got it. You're going to read it. You're going to love this one. This book is, it's got the romantic suspense, but it is so much fun. Because, okay, how did you find Carissa's books? How did you first get started reading Carissa's books?
Well, there was this person that starts with the letter M.
And it's not Minnie Mouse.
So, yeah, that's how I found her.
I am an enabler.
So, yes, I will. I will read it, obviously.
Julie, how'd you start reading Carissa?
I, our resident enabler, Michelle. You will find a,
she's feeding it.
What is it? A common denominator for a lot of our books is Michelle.
Not even a little sorry. Not even a tiny touch bit sorry that I got you to read these books.
Did you see, off subject a tad bit, but it's the same thing. Did you see that post today? In the protector group, and it was like, I joined 3 hours ago and 20 or 3 hours ago, and now I'm 28 more books deep in my TBR. And I said, sorry, not sorry.
Yep. Not even a little bit. It's true, though. I mean, you know, oh, I love it. 6 a.m. accidentally joins book group on Facebook. 9 a.m. now has 20 plus books in Amazon cart.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yay, yes. Ron's back.
Sorry.
So we were just discussing before Carissa comes on, how you found Carissa's books and why you read Reactivated Cassian. So you're up, Ron.
Let's see, how did I find Carissa's books? I think that you may have been the enabler on Carissa. I know that I read her Treasure Seekers series, and mm-hmm. I don't know whether I did that before you recommended her or not. I might have, but anyway, I started out with Oz because I think that I saw an ad, and I'm glad I did. And then you started editing for her, so it was kind of imperative.
I started with Oz also. I think I may have asked you can you come on and read some of these books and, you know, buddy read, let me know what you think. And because we all know that I do suffer from some serious imposter syndrome quite often. And I do reach out to my trusted readers, my stalker sisters, to say, you know, hey, can you read this book or can you read this passage or can you look at this with me and let me know either am I doing the right things or what am I missing? And we've had some good, really deep conversations, some of us, about things that go into different books and editing and different passages and growth in understanding where you started and where you're going. And Carissa, when I found her through Oz, she was really a baby author. And been working with her for a while now. And Cassian was kind of that turning point that I saw with her in her writing, of the depth of her writing. So that was kind of pretty cool for me. But she should be joining us here any minute. There was something else I was going to ask you guys before she came on.
Do we talk about whether they had standalones?
Ooh, we did talk about that a little bit. We mentioned that Cassian is definitely best read within the series. But Lightstorm and the Slater Security are more of that standalone, independent, interconnected. Am I the only one who's read all of the Slater Security books?
I have not. I started with Lightstorm.
Okay.
I've read all of them.
Okay.
I've read them too.
Okay. So,
my schedule didn't allow it. So I started.
Hi.
Chris is here.
Hi, how are you guys?
It worked.
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We are super excited. I want to introduce you real quick. So Carissa is joining us. Carissa Graysick is the author of the, she's got three series out now. I'm going to let you do an intro real quick, but I wanted to just say we are super excited to have you on. We've been talking about Cassian. So Carissa, go ahead and do a real quick intro of who you are, what you write. Tell us about the series that you have out, and then we'll dive into some questions.
Okay. First of all, I want to apologize real quick in case my dogs start barking.
We've already heard Maggie.
Okay, good. I feel better. So my name is Carissa, and I have been writing romance forever, but I just got back into it not quite 2 years ago, and I write romantic suspense with a lot of action and adventure and protector heroes. And I have three different series out. I have Fortune Seekers, which is about treasure hunters, and they run all over the world looking for lost treasures. I have the Project Phoenix series, which has a little bit of a sci-fi element to it. And my other one is a spinoff of Project Phoenix called Slater Security. And that is about Dash Slater, and he has some very tough women who work with him, and a former Navy SEAL.
Yes, I just thought of when you said that. I'm like, it's funny that it's Slater Security is about Dash, and he's the one who doesn't have a book yet.
I know,
and so he's true. Mine, by the way.
Yeah, I think Dooley has licked Dash.
Okay. I love it.
We licked the claim. So, all right, I'm going to dive into some questions here, and we're just going to kind of jump into stuff. And going straight to Cassian, because we did talk a bit about how Cassian was the book that wasn't supposed to happen. He wasn't supposed to get his own book. So given that you weren't planning to write his book, what made you decide to write Cassian's book, and what was that process like?
Well, when I first sat down and came up with the idea for Project Phoenix, I was looking at having, I believe it was 6 books total. And then I did some research because I didn't know anything at all about Navy SEALs. And this follows a group of former SEALs. And basically, my research said that usually SEALs are in teams of 4 or 8. So I'm like, okay, well, that's not going to quite work and be accurate. So I had sort of killed one off, but we don't want to go into that. So I had to readjust my books. But even though when I was outlining Oz, Cassian was always also not involved. He supposedly had very bad PTSD, and he had committed suicide, and it was just kind of a side story for the team. And he wouldn't shut up. He just kept talking and talking and talking in my head when I started Dom's book, which is book 2. And I came to the scene where Dom escapes where he's being held, and he's out in the hall, and he turns the corner with his heroine, and it was just like Cassian was standing there, and he's like, "I'm here. This is my story. Let's go." And I just kind of listened to it and ran with it, and there he was, and yeah, it was kind of weird how it all happened. But he was very vocal, and he wouldn't let up until I started listening. So that's what I did.
I love that. I got chills when you just talked about that, how he turns the corner and Cassian's just there, like
he
in the last room. And I just got chills thinking about that.
I remember, I'm like, oh, that's a really cool reveal. Why not? Let's bring him back. So
I love that.
I think we all did this audible.
Yes, yes.
That's what I was going for. So it was, I mean, it happened to me too. I was like, oh, he's there. Oh my gosh. So I'm glad that everybody else.
I love that. I love that you had your own reveal.
Yeah.
To him.
I totally did.
I absolutely love when authors talk about their writing process.
Mm-hmm.
And even when things surprise them, like it's like out of the blue, it was not planned. It wasn't part of the, you know, your outline or whatever, and all of a sudden they're there. It's like, excuse me,
yeah,
come from.
yep. Ghost came back from the dead. There he was.
And I like that you, okay, so you mentioned kind of a little bit about how you kind of killed one off, and we're actually just really talking about that. I had mentioned it about how you had gone back and written a prequel for Jonah, for Fish, because was he really loud too, or was that a response to other people asking for him?
Other people were mentioning him, and they're like, is he really dead? Yes. Yeah. And people were saying, I think there's a way you could probably bring him back too.
You know, stranger things have happened. But yeah, I think in Cassian's book, we kind of find that, oh God, that scene tore me up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, yep, because we're doing spoilers here, because if you haven't read Cassian, you just need to go read it. But that whole scene with learning about Jonah and all that, that might have been Tissue Box 2. I don't remember, but that hit hard. So what's your favorite scene or part in Cassian?
I have two. I really like when he's reunited with his team for the first time, just because he's really worried and they embrace him back, even though all the crazy stuff that has happened. So I love that they, you know, he's their long lost brother and they all just gather around him and welcome him back to the fold. And then I like in the end, the airplane scene, the climax with Aiden and Cassian and Haley. The scene where Michelle almost had a heart attack.
I think she texted me and said, I can't believe she did that to me.
I did. I know I did, at least to one or I might have been in the group. I don't even remember. I totally remember that, though. At least one of you going, I can't believe she did this.
I just that line where, well, Aiden's gotten some slack, I think. People aren't, I mean, he's more well-liked now, but in the beginning he was getting some, I'm not sure how I feel about this guy. So I really wanted him to step up and kind of make a move where he's very self-sacrificing. And so when he's like, you already died once, Ghost, you're not dying again, he shoves him out of the plane. I was like, that's what Aiden needs.
Yes.
And then I had to figure out how he doesn't die.
Because I would have been on a plane to California saying, hey, rewind. Let's do this again.
All right.
Because Ron and I have decided we're going to share Aiden because we need his story. So I love that. And two really different scenes, but that both involve his team in some way. So they're not independent scenes, but they're scenes that really involve that element of what we were talking about earlier of found family.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What was the most difficult part for you to write?
The emotional scenes, the the beach scene where he kind of collapses and breaks down. I think after writing that scene, I was just, I think that's when I went into my reading group and I was like, okay, I need a break. This book is getting a little heavy right now and all the emotions are happening. So yeah, I'm used to the action and the running around and the guns firing. And then when it was getting heavy, I'm like, okay, now I need to step away for a second here.
Yeah.
That was a tough scene.
So leading off of that, what was something you thought was going to be really difficult but wound up being really wonderful about the experience or the book, just about Cassian?
The whole Project Phoenix series has been difficult. Like when I first sat down and I decided I'm going to write a series and this looks like it's going to be maybe 7 books long, it was very intimidating and I didn't know. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. So that was very intimidating. And then, originally, like I said, there were supposed to be 6 books and then it ended up being 7 books and a prequel. And it kept growing and the whole thing was a little intimidating, but it's so worth it. You know, now that I'm going to be on book 6, Deacon, mm-hmm. it's rewarding. It's very, very good. So
I love that. So are you a planner or are you a pantser when you write?
Total planner. I can't, I have to outline at least just basic stuff per chapter. So I'll write down kind of, I don't know, maybe start with 20 chapters or so. And then just a little paragraph where each one is headed. I think, you know, if a scene or if a chapter doesn't have a purpose, I'll cut it. And I think that kind of is influenced by my screenwriting because, you know, if it doesn't have a purpose, mm-hmm. I have to get rid of it and I have to know where I'm going. I have to have at least a general outline. Yeah.
Now, are you like that in life too?
No, not at all. I plan for nothing. I fly by the seat of my pants and I go where the wind takes me. I very rarely, like when I'm on vacation, I have a friend and I love her to death, but she has to have every single second planned out down to, you know, what time we're getting up and where we're going next. And I'm like, let's just get up when we get up and do what we do. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that it's on one side of your life, you're very just kind of go where the wind goes. And on when you write and you sit down, you have a plan in place.
Mm, yeah. I have to. Like that too.
Yeah. I love that though. I'm like, okay, I lost my questions. There they are. How have your life experiences influenced your writing or your characters?
I've always been a big movie fan. I've always really loved the action adventure movies, so I think those have influenced my stories that I write. And I did screenwriting for maybe, oh my gosh, like 20 years, I think. So that's greatly influenced and improved my writing because it's made me more visual, and it's really taught me. You know, they say show don't tell, and you don't really understand that until you're writing a script and it's like, okay, I can only write what the camera sees. Mm. So now when I write a book, even though I do include internal dialogue, because you can, I really try to picture it and think, like I'll look at it like, okay, how would I film this scene? And then mm-hmm. I'll just start writing it that way. So that's helped a lot.
I love that.
Yeah. It's been very helpful, actually, because I never understood that before, you know, like way back when. I'm like, what do you mean show don't tell? You know, and but you learn real quick if you're writing a script.
And now it's very real. And I know because I did put a disclaimer at the beginning of this that I do edit for you. So I'm super biased and in favor of your books. And I love your characters and I love working with you. And you are just an awesome person. It's really evident when I get a manuscript from you that the action is all there. I do not have to pull out the action. I don't have to pull out the scenes of, but then what happened? It's there. And I see that come through from the screenwriting also because it's just very fast paced. And there's normally, I will say, normally when I edit, we decrease, we take away. I think there's an author that I'm working with that I think so far we have eliminated close to 30,000 words.
Oh my gosh.
And with you, it's kind of, it's, we build.
No, we have to, yeah.
Kind of cool because you're, the bones are so solid. And then it just continues to build and to build and to build. So it's kind of cool that I don't have to do a whole lot of cutting when I'm working with you, because everything moves really fast. And like you said, if it doesn't have a purpose, it's not there. Mm-mm. So that's kind of cool. So you do have the spinoff series with Slater. Mm-hmm. And you have been going back and forth between Project Phoenix and Slater in the writing. How difficult is it for you to switch gears between the two series? Because they are very different.
I think my biggest thing that catches me up sometimes is Project Phoenix is third person. And Slater Security, I put in first person. So I'll catch myself slipping sometimes. And then I also do ghostwriting too. And all my stuff I do for my client is first person. So I'm constantly flipping point of views. So like I said, sometimes I'll catch myself writing in the wrong tense, in the wrong story. And I'm like, oh. So yeah, it gets tricky with that.
I can see that going back and forth. I didn't even think about that, but that's true. They do go back and forth.
Yeah,
and but
and the first person, but I really like both. When I read, I tend to read more in third person. When I write, I really do enjoy writing first person too, though, because you can really, really deep dive, I think, into a character, which I like that a lot.
Yeah, definitely. So what that going off that, this isn't one of the questions I had originally thought of, but now I want to know. What made you decide to do third person for Project Phoenix and first person for Slater?
Well, I always just knew third person and always did third person. And so Fortune Seekers is third, Project Phoenix is third. And then so when I started Slater Security, just so many readers online were going on and on and on about how much they love first person and they won't read third person. And then one of my favorite authors, she tried doing a first person book, and I'm like, all right, I'm jumping on the bandwagon and I'm going to give it a go. And I really like it. So I'm glad I did, but I don't know if I'm going to do it again. I prefer writing third. So
now you just opened up another door for me because Slater has one more book after Lightstorm. So Lightstorm comes out the day that this will actually upload and air this podcast.
Nice.
And then there's Dash. And in Project Phoenix, there's just two more books left. So do you know where you're going after those yet?
Well, I've had a lot of people tell me they want Finn's story. And he is the
pilot.
The cocky pilot in Slater Security. So Finn's going to get a story, I'm pretty sure.
Sweet. We get Flyboy's story.
I love it. Yeah. And then I have a lot of notes that I wrote down about a new series, and it's called Ring of Thieves. And it's basically going to be there's a lot of little twists and turns, so I don't want to say too much, but it's going to be about a group of underground thieves and some morally gray characters who you're going to love, hopefully.
And, so are you going a little dark with that?
I think it'll be a very mixed tone between like Project Phoenix and Slater Security. I think it'll still be a lot of action and adventure, and but yeah, some of the characters you're not going to be, they're going to be like an Aiden. Do you like him? Or do you know, at first you're not sure maybe, but then the hero will always come out and the happy ending will always happen. So
sweet.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay. I have to ask you, this wasn't something in there, but I'm going to ask you anyway, have you watched Winter Soldier yet?
Oh my God. I knew you were going to ask me that. No. I swear. swear it's on my list.
I have to tell you, I was floored when I started reading Project Phoenix, and especially with Cassie, and learned that you had not watched that movie yet.
No, it's so funny. I love all the action movies, but I don't ever really watch the superhero movies. So the Marvel and the DC stuff, I've never been a comic book person. So I usually skip those. I mean, I saw the original Batman, but that's about it. So.
Ooh, now I think I have to change one of our 10 random questions, but I'm going to keep it on there for now anyway. So, Susie, Julie, Ron, what questions, what did you want to ask Carissa while we've got her here?
Well, I put one of my questions in the lightning round, or speed round.
Okay. Which one?
Well, it's...
Okay, you'll ask it. Cool. Okay.
You want me to?
You want to, should we do, Ron, did you have any questions or anything for Carissa?
No, because we talk.
Okay. Susie?
Mine. I can ask it.
All right, so we're going to break up the lightning round here in a second, but I want to talk what Ron just said, which I thought was interesting, that you guys talk anyway, and to me, that is one of the most amazing elements of the indie romance and indie writer community, is the communication that authors have with readers, with reviewers, just, you know, like the random folk that we are, that the connections are there to have a conversation with people who read and who write. And that is not something that normally happens in the traditional publishing world, at least not pre social media.
It's not at all. Honestly, now that you say that, it makes me think, because I started writing romance when I was like 18 or 19, and I gave it up, I think, because of that very reason. It was really lonely. There was nobody to talk to. Nobody, you know, I went to a big Romance Writers of America conference when I was, I think, 21, and I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew anybody. Nobody talked to anybody. It was really lonely. And then you talk to these editors, and then you don't ever hear anything back. And yeah, and it got kind of depressing. And I was like, oh, this is awful. And then when I realized there was independent publishing years later, and how amazing everybody is, and how close these groups can get, and you know, the friends you can make, and it totally changed the game for me. And I think it's one of the reasons I came back to writing romance.
I know well, this is Lightstorm, but I think it was within the first two or three paragraphs, I'm messaging Carissa, and I'm like, hey, what's the smell? Where is this something I can purchase? Because I want it for my husband, or I can remember.
And I loved that. I was so excited when you did that. I mean, that's just like something that never would have happened 20 years ago. And it's so awesome that it does now.
So, okay. So where did the smell come from? What is the scent that Julie's referring to at the beginning of Lightstorm?
So, Sailor describes Maddox as having a cherry scent to him because he smokes these cherry-scented cigars. And my grandpa used to smoke a pipe with cherry tobacco in it. And so that was a little part of it, his scent, where that came in. He has a little bit of like a woody scent too. So it all came from, inspired from my grandpa. And it's funny because he died years ago, and he actually quit smoking way before that, but it's just something I always have remembered, and it kind of always stuck with me because I loved it. It smelled so good. And when I'm writing, I'm just like, I bet Maddox would smell like that.
I love that. And that's not the only personal connection that you have in Lightstorm. No. And I love that you brought those personal connections in, because there's a very heavy element of Lightstorm that comes from your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I always thought that the friends you make when you're 12 always, for some reason, stand out to you the most. And maybe because that's when I made one of my best friends, Megan. And so, I mean, it was, I don't know. And I don't know if you've ever seen Stand By Me, but mm-hmm. that line that his final line in the movie, it's like, you'll never make another friend like you did when you were 12. And something like that. I know I'm quoting that wrong, but it's basically to that effect. And so, yeah, she was my best friend, and she passed away from cancer right before, right after our high school graduation. So I thought putting a story like that in Sailor's background would work for her, and someone in my reading group had suggested she wear an ankle bracelet, because I think I asked – question. I always pop in and ask these random questions. And I think I asked what's something a really tough heroine could do to make her appear softer or something like that. And someone said if she wore a very piece of sentimental jewelry, like a ankle bracelet or something. And as soon as she wrote that, I was like, oh, okay, Sailor would do that. And mm-hmm. this is why. And yeah, it's weird just how all these random things just kind of then come together. And then you have an idea. So.
But I love the way writing allows you to pull in things from your life and give them new life through your characters.
Yeah, yeah. And it amazes me that like Julie picked up on that and she wrote me and asked me. I love that.
You never know what the reader's going to pick up on and what's going to resonate with them.
Yeah.
But it also... for me to like, I needed to know that's how well written it was. Like, I could smell it in my in my bed. That's weird. Anyway,
yeah. Since we brought up Lightstorm, I want to say that Maddox is probably like, well, he's definitely top 10 of my all time book boyfriends, and I don't usually disclose that list, but. because I can't really, but anyway, he is like right up there.
That is an honor.
I love that so much.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
For me to go on record and say that, that's a really big deal, because he's in really high company.
That's huge. I am so excited about that. You don't even know. And so
people need to read it.
Maddox was a little bit of a dark horse when I first started writing him, and I wasn't exactly sure where he was gonna go or what his backstory was. And I remember Michelle was encouraging me to write even more, because she was asking me questions: where is he from, and this and this. And I was like, okay, I need to give him some more here. And then it just all kind of started rolling. So
right before I started the read, I saw a quote somewhere about what men were and how to really embrace masculinity, a man has to be able to empathize, honestly empathize. And then I read Maddox's character and I went, she nailed it.
Oh, yay.
I agree. That toasty marshmallow, right? Toasted marshmallow, cinnamon roll.
Toasted marshmallow.
I love it.
He really is. And he was kind of this quiet background. In Slater, the women do take kind of front and center. And their guys kind of come along for the ride. But Maddox was already part of the team, which I love that workplace romance element of it and the opposites attract element of it. But he really turned out to be so much more than what I really even thought he was going to be. I needed more Maddox stuff.
Yeah, hey, he surprised me too, so.
I love that. All right, we're going to do some lightning round. So it's just 10 questions. Susie, you're asking 1 through 3. Ron, you're doing 4 through 6. And Julie, you're going to bring it home with 7 through 10. Everybody's got their questions, right?
Yes.
I do.
Yep. All right, Susie, you're up first.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Birds or tacos?
Tacos, 110%. Taco Bell, specifically.
Dogs or cats?
I have to say both because I have both, but I lean a little more toward dogs.
Okay. You're allowed to do that. Ron, you're up.
Favorite book boyfriend that you've written?
Oh, this feels like I'm cheating.
Yeah, not more than one.
I really, really like Jack in the first Project Phoenix book. And I really know I'm going to like Aiden in the last one. So we're going to go with Jack and Aiden.
Okay. I'm going to stick an extra question in there. Favorite book boyfriend that you didn't write?
Aiden.
No, that you didn't, that you haven't written, well, you haven't written yet.
Although I have to say Dash is going to be really good too. So I'm excited for Dash too. So
Marvel or DC, and you've already kind of answered that.
Yeah, neither.
And your favorite
I'm with you, Carissa. I'm good. Those are not okay, my good. Shows. Those are not my movies.
No. Mm-mm.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Peanut Baskin Robbins peanut butter chocolate. So good.
Ooh, good one.
Awesome.
So Julie, good. You're up.
Beach house or mountain lake retreat?
I want to say beach house, but whenever I go to the beach, I end up hating it. So I'll say mountain lake.
I'm flexible. I just want to go away.
Where, yeah, there's
water, where there's water.
That works.
Let's see. Now, this is very specific. Your favorite football team?
Football to me is like comic books. And
yay.
I've never been a big sports person. The only time I ever cheer for a sports team is if it's a Boston team, because I lived there and they force you to become a fan. They brainwash you. So other than that.
But you're from Ohio.
I know.
I expected you to be brainwashed to be an Ohio Buckeyes. State fan. I'm so disappointed.
I know. Ugh. Sorry.
It's okay. So, favorite food. I won't say game day food since you don't do games. So, what's your favorite?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh. I could eat pizza all day long.
Very good.
All right. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
It does not.
Thank you.
Wrong answer.
Okay. My cousin gets it on her pizza. She gets pineapple and mushrooms, and it grosses me out.
No. Yeah, I want pineapple and mushrooms. All right, Julie, sorry, I kind of stepped on that there. Last one.
Action flick or rom-com?
Action. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I kind of thought you were going to say that.
You know what's funny is I feel like Slater Security is an action flick rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I say earlier? That they have the Mr. and Mrs. Smith vibe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Yeah. Book two is very influenced by Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I really wanted that tone. I love that movie.
Well, you succeeded. That book two definitely has that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. But you're right, Julie, it does. It's Slater Security is very much that action adventure with a little bit of rom-com built into it, where you get the humor and you get all of the action and you get all of the suspense, but you also get these little peaks of humor within it also, especially with Sailor and Maddox, I feel. They're awesome. Funny.
They are
so fun. I'm going to piggyback off of, let me get... It is 9:30, y'all. I have been working all day long, but it's all good. Piggybacking off of something Ron asked and then re-asked. Favorite book boyfriend from someone else's book, another author's book?
Yeah, so Anna Hackett's Vander Norcross is a dream come true. He is the biggest, like, protector, tough guy until he gets with his heroine, and then she just... gives him, you know, he's just a big marshmallow with her, and he's great. But that book is The Protector. That's his book, and that's a great book. I love it.
And so how long ago did you read Anna Hackett?
You know what? I started reading her right before I started going back to writing romance, so only a couple years.
Okay.
And reading her book, it's funny, I just completely stumbled across her book. It was a free box set somewhere I saw, and I downloaded it, and I started reading it, and I'm like, God, this makes me miss writing romance. And I actually wrote her, and I didn't expect to hear anything at all. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about writing romance again, and you really inspired me to do it. And I just wanted to tell you that and thank you. And she writes back this really nice email and, you know, encourages me to do it. And then she ended up sending me a book and bookmarks. And yeah, so I'm a fan for life.
Well, I love that. I had never heard of her until I started the Protector Group. And I mean, and I need to read her. I really need to read her.
So good.
Everything that is said is just amazing. So,
yeah, so good.
So now who's the TBR enabler?
All of you.
I do want to mention before we... What's that?
I just added it to my TBR.
Uh-huh. Yep. Everything. It's all on there. I think we're all going to be doing that pretty soon. And I love that you messaged her and she wrote back to you, because again, that's that connection of we're so used to not having that connection. And then when it happens, we're so shocked that it happened. And it really, I think, brings everything to a different level when you're reading and you know that you reached out to someone and they reached back, you know,
yeah.
That's just so cool.
It's really cool. So,
it is one of the things I absolutely love about the Romancelandia community. And keeping that in mind, I want to mention that Carissa is going to be at Shameless in November. Your first book signing, right?
Yes. Very excited.
Part of the new author showcase, which is pretty huge. Shameless is a huge event in Orlando. And Julie and I will be there. So excited. We will sister stalk you there.
I'm so excited. You do not know how relieved I was when I wrote you and I was like, have you heard of Shameless? And you're like, we're going to be there.
Julie and I were at Knockout. We were at Knockout Book Bash. We were actually sitting in the bar after dinner? I don't remember if it was Friday or Saturday night. And you messaged me and I saw your message and I looked over at Julie and I showed her my phone and she couldn't read it because I was jumping up and down because I was so excited that we were going to get to meet you in November in Orlando, because we thought we were going to have to wait for March.
Yeah.
Because Carissa's also coming to Charm City Romanticon outside of Baltimore in March to be one of our signing authors, which is just... To me, that was the, oh my God, she said yes.
I was like, oh my God, they asked.
I love that. That's, again, that's that element of that connection is so key. So whoever's listening, if they're going to be at Shameless, Carissa's going to be there. So you can buy all the books and get them all signed. And I just found out that we're actually going to be driving down instead of flying down, so I can bring a shit ton of books with me that I didn't think I was going to be able to, because now I don't have to worry about getting them back in my suitcase and putting them all underneath the airplane on Southwest. Although I love them, I still wouldn't put my books underneath the plane. So we're driving down, so there's more. So if you're coming to Shameless, you can bring all the books for Carissa to sign, or in March, because by then... The at least we know, as of right now, Project Phoenix will be finished.
Yes,
by March, and possibly Slater.
Let's see. I pushed my release schedule back a little bit, so Aiden's going to be Valentine's Day. I thought that was fitting. So maybe Dash's release will be super close. I'm not sure if it'll have happened though.
Wow. Well. I know it's late here. I know it's getting late there. We heard the doggies go. So they're kind of always the someone's home.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on with us tonight. Anything else you want to say before we let you go, or you want to tell readers about you, about your books, about events that you're doing, anything at all. This is your time.
Oh, I'm just so happy you guys invited me to talk with you guys. I'm just very excited to be back doing what I always loved doing, and that's writing romance. So, and I just, I love connecting with people who enjoy my books. So if you do, write me, you know, send me an email. I will pull an Anna Hackett and write you back and become your best friend. So
I love it.
Yeah, are you still looking for people for your ARC team if people are interested in doing ARC reads?
I am. Definitely. I'm definitely looking for more people to come on board. And the next ARC going out will be a Project Phoenix book. It'll be Deacon's story.
Yes. Awesome. Anything, Susie, Ron, Julie, anything else?
Just thanks for hanging out with us. It was fun.
Oh, I had so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. And I cannot wait until we get a Shameless.
I know.
We'll
so
have
excited.
Some drinks and we'll have some fun.
Yes. So excited.
Awesome. Krista, thank you. Susie, Susie, were you saying something? I'm sorry.
No, thank you for having us.
Cool.
Thank you.
Krista, thank you so much for joining us tonight, for writing these amazing books, for letting us be part of your world. And your experience and your journey in writing, for bringing these characters to life for us. It's been amazing. And I really appreciate you being on with us tonight. And I can't wait to see you in November. It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. You guys are the best. I'm very excited.
And look for Operation Lightstorm. That's coming out today, the day that this airs. Grab all the books, read all the books, and then let us know what you think about all the books. Don't forget to write a review. Always write good reviews. So thanks, Carissa. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.
So that's it for today. So glad that you guys decided to pop in and join us on our latest adventures in book clubbing. Special thanks to Carissa Graysick for joining us, to my stalker sisters, Susie, Ron, and Julie for being on here with me, talking all things Cassian, a little things Lightstorm, a little things Project Phoenix. Please pop into the comments for episode 13 on Facebook and Instagram and let us know what you think. I do want to apologize for some of the audio issues we had. I am really, really, really looking for another option for recording. I think we're going to try something different next time, but we're getting there. So thanks for, if you made it this far, thanks for hanging in with us. There's lots of ways to contact me, of course, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Discord, Brazen Bookworms, Unrighteous Reading Rebellion on Facebook, and Brazen Bookworm on TikTok and Instagram and Discord. Remember, it's BrazenBookworm. Don't forget those Y's in there. I will also post links to Carissa's reading group and her author page on Facebook in the posts on Facebook and Instagram, so you'll know how to find her as well. And let us know if you've read anything by Carissa. If you've read Cassian, don't forget to pick up Lightstorm and read that one. Grab Slater series. They're all fantastic. You can always direct message me if you don't feel comfortable leaving a comment. And I will message back, I promise. So cannot wait to connect with y'all again and hope you enjoy reading Reactivated Cassian as well as the rest of the Project Phoenix guys, Lightstorm, as well as the rest of the Slater security crew. And we'll catch up next week.